We're going to read one verse together, verse number 6, John chapter 14, verse 6, reading from the King James Bible. And let's read in unison, shall we? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the way, the way. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have through you, not through a church, not through baptism, not through works. Lord, you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you, dear God, for the day that we were introduced to our Savior, the day that we humbled ourselves and trusted you to be our Savior to save us from hell. Bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. I pray that you bless them. Bless the nursery, the junior church, dear God. I thank you, Lord, for church. I pray, Lord, that this will be a help this morning. I pray that, Lord, there wouldn't be any distractions, we wouldn't be distracted, and that we would be focused on the Word of God this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter number 14. Verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Look at verse number 6, please. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you've heard a lot of people say, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. If that's true, then Jesus is a liar. Jesus said he's the only way. Not a church. Not baptism, not living a good life, not your works, not any other God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We talk about the truth a lot of times because the Word of God is truth, the Bible says. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. We know the Word of God is truth because it's God's Word. We talk about the life, and God's given us abundant life through the Lord Jesus Christ because of salvation. But I want to talk to you this morning about the way. I mentioned a little bit about it Wednesday night in our Bible study series on finances and money. But I'm going to hit this a little bit more this morning as far as I can get to. I don't know how much I'll get through this morning, but I want to talk to you this morning about birds of the same feather flock together. Which road are you on? Who do you keep company with? Who do you associate with? Who are your companions? Which road are you traveling on? Which way are you going? For instance, there's only two ways for all eternity. You're either on your way to heaven because you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell, or you're on your way to hell because you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only two ways. Amen. So you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Likewise, on earth, there's two ways. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Every way that's not the right way is the wrong way. Not 10,000 ways, like they say, well, you know, we go to heaven all different kinds of ways, all different kind of gods, all different kind of religions. No, there's one right way, and there's one wrong way named a whole bunch of other ways. They have a bunch of names for that wrong way. The only way for God, for the only way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to live is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, not church. Church, if it's a good church, that's good. But a church cannot save you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Word of God, the King James Bible. When you find the Lord Jesus Christ and you find the King James Bible, you will find the right kind of church. If you don't care about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't care about the Word of God, the King James Bible, then you're going to find some other denomination, you're going to find some other group, you're going to find some other church, you're going to find some other fellowship to attend. Which way are you going? Which road are you on? Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. You will not be what you want to be. You will be who you hang around with. Let me repeat that. You will not be what you want to be. You will be who you hang around with. Because eventually, as we're about to read, eventually the people that you hang around with are going to rub off on you. The way you think, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, the music you listen to, the doctrines that you believe, the songs that you sing, it's going to be a reflection of who you hang around with. Psalm 25, please, and verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. That's interesting. Because here's the falsehood that we have swallowed. You look at a person and you follow the person instead of following the path and the way that that person is on. I want to remind you that all of us are sinners. And every single one of us can fall and fail. Instead of putting your eyes on the individual, put your eyes on the path or the road or the way that individual is on. Because a lot of good people have failed and fallen short even on the right road or on the bad road. The question is, what road are they on? Because in the long run, it'll work out for them even though they sin, even though they failed, even though they've fallen short. So a lot of times, we follow people only because that's the way God made us. I don't care what you tell me, you're following someone. If you're not following Jesus, you're following Satan. I don't care what you tell me. My Bible tells me the truth. If you're not following the right crowd, you're following the wrong crowd. So I don't follow anybody. Okay, yeah, but you go to those concerts, right? Right? You follow sports. You follow your heroes. You follow your idols. You're following somebody on planet Earth. Now, they're either on the right path or they're on the wrong path. So what you ought to discern is the person I'm following, what path are they on and what kind of group are they following? Psalm 25, verse number 8. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So while you're in the way, the right way, the Jesus way, the King James Bible way, he will teach sinners in the way. Amen. So you say, well, you know, I'm not very smart, Pastor. I don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. You just have to get plugged in into the right way. Amen. All right. For instance, like these new cars are coming out. You know, they're driverless cars. Or they're, you know, without a man driving them. They're automatic. You plug them in with GPS, and now they can literally stop at the lights, and they know where to turn. They make lights without a person driving it. You know why? Because you put in the right destination. Hopefully, it turns out right. And then once in a while, there's accidents and there's mistakes. I grant you. But Jesus doesn't make mistakes. And there's no accidents with Jesus, amen? And he never is wrong. So if you're just plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you're a sinner, even though you have fallen short, even though you've fallen flat on your face, if you just plug yourself into the right God, the right book, and the right way, I promise you, I will guarantee you, it'll turn out okay. So how do you know that? Because I know what God said in the Word of God. Here's what you think. You say, Pastor Cletus, for those of you who don't have any brains, you say, you're so smart, okay? That's what you say. Boy, you know so much, Pastor Kalidas. You know, that Bible study that we had last week or last month or the truth that you brought out in the Bible, I never knew that before, never saw that before. And here's what you say. You say, boy, you think, wow, he's so good. That's what you think. Liar, 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 pants on fire. You know how I got those truths? From someone else that was on the same road I'm going, that was ahead of me about 30, 40, 50 years before me, 100 or 200 years before me, 1,000 years before me. The truths don't change. But you think, boy, I'm so good, for those of you who can't think for yourselves, obviously. You think I'm so good and such a good preacher because all I've done, listen to me good, was stay on the right road after I got saved. That Satan wanted to get me off. And I have learned more, listen to me good, from being around the right crowd, from the Word of God, than doing it on my own. Amen. I think we're too smart for our own britches sometimes. We think we're smarter than God. And we think, well, you look at somebody's fault, and you say, well, you're going to throw the baby out with the wash. You do that with churches. Do you realize churches are made up of sinners? Do you realize sinners sin? Do you realize sinners make mistakes? So here's what Satan wants to make you do. He wants you to hang your hat on one mistake, one error, one sin that somebody has done or is doing, and throw out the whole church and go the wrong way because you're going to make an excuse because somebody hurt you or did something or said something. Without you even thinking, well, are they in the right way? Too many times you look at people as a snapshot only instead of looking at the long-term picture. Now, if you have a snapshot of somebody, you don't know. If you just look at the snapshot, you don't know if they're going the wrong direction or the right direction. How do you know with a snapshot? Do you realize a person just got saved this week, last month, who's still smoking cigarettes, may be more right with God than you are coming to church for the last 5 or 10 years? I don't know what direction you're going, and you don't know what direction they're going. I'm just saying, you're looking at a snapshot, and you say, well, look what they did, or look what they're doing. I grant you, it may not be good, but get the whole picture. Look at the next 10, 20, 30 years. See where they're going. I'm telling you, if you saw me 30-some years ago after I got saved, you probably wouldn't have said I was saved. All I did, you know what I did? I kept going to the right place, and I kept going to the right path, and I kept going to the right road. And sooner or later, guess what? It rubbed off on me. Amen. I was going to church in North Carolina. I was in the Marine Corps, single, and my pastor knew that I was going to marry somebody that was not saved. And I couldn't remember anything else he said. 300 people sitting in the auditorium. Another 100 or 200 in junior church. And the only thing I can remember in his sermon says, don't marry anybody that's not saved. Don't marry anybody. Now, he knew I was going to marry somebody that wasn't saved. That's all he said, though. I didn't leave because he was preaching against me. I said, well, thank God. He's got enough courage to tell me the truth. And guess what? I broke up with my girlfriend because my pastor was preaching the truth. I didn't leave the church. And then she got saved, and I married her. Amen. I don't have any regrets ever marrying her. Now, my wife may have a lot of regrets, okay? But I don't have any regrets. Because I did it God's way, not my way. I was in love. I didn't want to break up. But the preacher, all he kept saying is, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right. I said, oh, man, he's got some other sermons he can preach. Had I not gone there and gone to somebody and said, oh, don't worry about it, pat me on the back, it doesn't matter, I wouldn't have had the marriage I've had for the last 34 years. Amen. I would not have had the blessings I've had for the last 34 years. Too many people can't tough it out, and they give up and say, oh, I can't take it no more. You just stay on the right path. You stay on the right road. And I'm telling you, while you're in the way, God says he'll teach sinners in the way. What way? John 14:6, Jesus is the way. Why get rid of God when things don't go right? Trouble and tribulation come to everybody. That's when you need to be in the way. That's where you get wisdom. That's where you get discretion. That's where you get understanding. That's where you get comfort. That's where you get power. You don't walk away because things didn't work out right for one instant or five instances. You stay where God wants you to be because I'm telling you, you're about to read it. God knows what he's talking about. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. God's a lot wiser than we are. That's why the problem with your public schools and government schools is you're putting your kids in the wrong atmosphere on the wrong road. They're learning about heathen gods, idols. They're learning about queers, transvestites. They're learning about all these kind of faggots that make these kids think it's normal, and it's not normal. And you're hanging around the wrong crowd that thinks it's normal. And you're sending your kids to the wrong place to teach them that it's normal. It's not normal. Isaiah chapter number 35. Verse number 8. And an highway shall be there. And a what? A way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Hebrews says, no man can see God without holiness. And before we get to be with God in all eternity, we're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to purify us. No man can see God without holiness. But the way is called holy. You don't hear about holiness preaching anymore. You know what they call them? They say, well, you're just too legalistic. Here's what you want. I want to be old-fashioned. So when the preacher starts preaching old-fashioned truth, you say he's legalistic. It's called the way of holiness. Now watch what he says. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, watch this, though what? Though fools shall not err therein. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that before we got saved, we were fools on our way to hell? Do you realize that? I didn't know where I was going to go when I died. I didn't care where I was going to go when I died. I just thought I believed in Jesus Christ. I thought I was going to go to heaven because, you know, I wasn't that bad. Never killed anybody, you know, never robbed banks, you know, it wasn't that bad. God says I was a fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's an atheist is a fool. An agnostic is a fool. That's what God says. I didn't say it. God said it. Now, here's the thing. Even though we are fools, if we're in the way, look what it says. Though fools shall not err therein. That means if you're in the right way, even though we've been foolish in the past, the fact that we're in these boundaries, in these lanes, in these lines of the old-time religion, the Word of God, the King James Bible, old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching, guess what? Even though we're fools, we're not going to err inside the way. You go ahead and step outside the way, and you see how your life is going to be damaged and ruined. Yeah. Yeah. Damaged and ruined. Because you thought you were smart in the preach. Let me tell you something. I'm not an electrician. If I had an electrical problem, I'd call an electrician. Does that make sense? I'm not a plumber. I've done plumbing. But I'm not a plumber. I'm not a mason. I'm sure I could learn some, but I'm not a mason. I didn't work 5-10 years with brick and mortar and stone. I'd call a mason. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an architect. Those are experts in that field. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been preaching for 30 years. I've counseled and talked with people for the last 30 years about why people break up, why people are sad, disappointed, depressed, discouraged. I've read this Bible enough through, not enough, but enough times to know that I know what I'm talking about. I said, I know what I'm talking about. So here's what you do. You listen to somebody who's not going the right way, a pothead, a drunk, listen to me good, someone who's on heroin, criticizing the preaching of the right way so that you can destroy your life. Amen. Hey, maybe you ought to say that maybe the preacher knows what he's talking about. Ask a question. How's the last 34 years of your life been going? Huh? How are your children doing? I'm asking you a question this morning. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just saying I've been in the right road in the right way, and I heard enough preaching for the last 35, 40 years that I know what is right because I've been in the right road. Not because my IQ is high, not because I got a good job, not because I'm smart, not because of any other reason. When I told a story Wednesday night, when I got out of the Marine Corps, you know, when you're in the Marine Corps, everybody gets a high and tight, man. They shave your head, man, you know. You look like a neo-Nazi in boot camp, I'm telling you. We're in boot camp. I went February, middle of February, and I still remember the news. We were in boot camp now. Ronald Reagan got shot. You know, in our boot camp, you weren't allowed to watch television. You couldn't call the outside world. I mean, you understand. It was like a concentration camp, literally. I'm telling you, it was just unbelievable. You'd have no contact with the outside world other than letters coming in, okay? And I remember they brought in, for the first time, the only time, a television set. And they're going to show the president getting shot. They had the video of this. And we're all gathered around. We haven't seen a television set in about 45, 50 days. I don't know. And we were looking at this box, you know. This is 1983, 81. And so they come and they plug it in, and there it is. They had the film. You know, if you ever seen it, he's walking down. He's about to get in his car against a stone wall there. And I think it was Hinckley, whoever it was, shot. And the president's covered by the bodyguards there. He's thrown into the car, and he takes off to the hospital, wherever they're going. And this is one of the greatest, not in a good sense, but one of the greatest moments in American history. The president is being shot. And all I could think about was, look at all that hair they got. That's all I thought. Now, I voted for Reagan. I thank God he won. That's why I went to the Marine Corps, by the way. But all I could think about was, look at all that hair, man. I can't believe how much hair they got. You understand, when you're with somebody with about 40, 50 Marines with no hair, and then they show you a video of everybody with hair, you say, wow, that's sick. That's disgusting. Because I was in the Marine Corps in boot camp. You're used to being a Marine in boot camp. And you learn not to have any hair. 3 years later, I got out of the Marine Corps. And like most people, I let my hair go. You know, you grew up in the 60s and 70s, you understand, okay? I wasn't a flower child, but I used to wear my bell bottoms, amen? And like all good Greeks, you know, I'd unbutton my shirt all the way down so my hairy chest would show, and I put that cross right on my hairy chest. You know what I'm talking about. I'd be cool, you know? I was cool. And so even though I got saved after I got out of the Marine Corps, I let the hair go just a little bit, not much, just a little bit. And so my Sunday school teacher invited me to pastor school, and I didn't want to go. And my wife said, why don't you go? I said, I don't want to go. She said, why don't you go with him? I said, okay, I finally caved and I went. My first pastor school, 1986, Dr. Jack Hiles preaching. 6,000 men, 6,000 to 7,000 people, pastors, missionaries, ministers, workers sitting in a room. All of them having shorter hair than I had, just about. Now, I was in the Marine Corps just a couple years ago. And all I hear Brother Hiles say, oh, some of you guys are so cute with your Shirley Temple curly hair. I felt so convicted. I felt so guilty. As soon as I got home that weekend, that Monday, I went back to work. On lunchtime, I went to the barber, got a haircut. I walk back into the courtroom. This is in New Jersey, Camden County Courthouse. I go back to the courtroom, and the clerk says, John, you look like a banker. All because of a haircut. Because I hung around the right crowd that was preaching. You know why you look the way you look? Because you hang around the world's crowd. And you're full of yourself instead of full of Jesus. And you want to go your way instead of God's way. And I'm telling you, your life is going to be destroyed because you're going your Frank Sinatra's way, baby. He's burning in hell right now. And you're going to go your way, listen to me good, rejecting God because you're cool and you're full of yourself and you don't care about other people getting saved and living right for God. It's all about you. I remember I walked, you know, I was working at Camden County Courthouse there, and somebody, I can't remember who it was, gave me a gift with cufflinks and a tie, you know, tie bar, you know, put underneath here. So I walked into church one Sunday with, you know, my cufflinks and my tie bar. And I still remember my Sunday school teacher came up to me, and this is what he did. He flicked my tie and says, "That's cute." Walked away. That was the last time I wore it. Because my Sunday school teacher said, "That's cute," like that. And walked away. That's the last time I wore it. You know why? I was in the right way. With the right people, going the right direction. You fellas wear your earrings because you think that's cool. You know what? You're hanging around the queers and the faggots in 2017. Yeah. Yeah, listen to me good. You can laugh all you want. You're hanging around the wrong crowd, watching the wrong videos. Listen to me good. You don't know. They don't know if they're heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual. They don't know what they are. They're a bunch of queers. I'm telling you, they're a bunch of freaks of nature. And you're following them. People get tattoos because they saw somebody else get a tattoo. You put earrings in because somebody else put an earring in. You put a nose ring in because somebody else put a nose ring in because you're hanging around the wrong crowd. Go ahead, flush what the preacher's saying right down the toilet. Go ahead, flush it. We'll find out where you end up in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Thank God I stayed in the right road. Thank God I stayed in the right path. When most people deserted, when most people compromised, when most people went apostate, all I knew is I didn't care if the crowd got bigger, the crowd got smaller. I want to stay in the right road. And thank God I have no regrets that I did. And I'm telling you, I have no plans on change, ladies and gentlemen. But here's what you want to do. You want to win favor with your so-called fake friends on Facebook. Yeah. So here's what you should do. So not to hurt their feelings and not to lose their fake friendship with you, you get off the right road to try to win them, supposedly, and get on the wrong road and destroy your life and their life. Hey, this is called Baptist preaching, by the way. I'm trying to spare your life. I'm trying to spare you. Satan's got billboards on all sides. Hey, get off here. Get off this exit. It'll be more fun over here, more pleasure over there, more money over here. So he's got these signs and these billboards trying to tempt you to get off the road, the Jesus road, the Bible road. Jesus, I'm the way. The way. And even though we're sinners, he'll teach us in the way. Even though we're fools, we won't err in the road, in the way. It'll be inevitable that you'll pick up wisdom that you never had just from being in the way, from the people you hang around with. Luke chapter 16, please. Luke 16. Psalm 77, 13 says, "Thy way, O God, is the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." Psalm 119, verse 30 says, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." Proverbs 1 says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Proverbs 12, 28, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." Proverbs 13, 6 says, "Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner." Proverbs 13, 15, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." You say, "Well, I can't live that way." You go ahead and live the way the devil wants you to live and see how hard your life's going to end up. Being divorced 2, 3, 4 times, getting AIDS, getting gonorrhea, getting syphilis, going bankrupt, never seeing your kids. You listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Hanging around with the cool crowd, they're going to be in jail for the next 5, 10, 20 years and going to throw you under a bus just so they can save 1 or 2 years off their sentence. You think they're your buddies and your friends. Luke chapter number 16. Verse number 8, I don't got time to read the whole story. Go back when you get a chance from verse number 1, but we'll pick it up in verse number 8. "And the Lord, Jesus Christ, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely." Did you read that? The unjust steward who failed in a position, failed in a job to do what was right, did wisely. You know why? Because he didn't run and leave. We've all been unjust stewards. But even though we're fools, unjust stewards, and sinners, God can still bless us in the way and teach sinners in the way, as long as you don't budge and move out of the way. Again, I'm not saying a church, because this church may fall apart and change in the next 10, 20 years. I don't know. I could die tomorrow. You could die tomorrow. I have no idea. But blessed be God, I'm finding a good old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. And that's where you will find me. When I'm on vacation, you better believe that on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, I'm in the way. I'm finding an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Yeah. Sunday night, we were down in New Jersey. Brother Wally preached for us Sunday night, last Sunday night, but I was in New Jersey Sunday night visiting family. And on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, my cousin comes in and says, "You going to church?" Yeah, he knows already. I'm going to church. I left early, go to church. He says, "Where are you going?" I told him, he named the city. "You going to so-and-so?" "Yeah, I'm going right there, because that's where I always go when I'm in New Jersey, because I want to see my friend who's a pastor there. I go to church and my pastor's not there. Not my pastor, but the pastor's not there. The nerve of him. He left on a Sunday night to go visit his grandkids, just like I left on a Sunday night to go visit my relatives. But we were both in a way somewhere, hearing the Word of God being preached and taught and singing the songs. And glory be to God, I was singing Sunday night in church, amen? Amen. Well, you're going to picnics on Sunday. You're going to birthday parties on Sunday. You're going to a museum on Sunday. You're going to the mountains on Sunday. You're going to the beach on Sunday. And then you wonder why your family's going to fall apart. Now, you wonder why the curse of God's going to come on you. Because you're trying to get out of the way. I want to be in the way. In the way. Amen. This unjust steward did wisely. That means there's hope for you and I, ladies and gentlemen. That we can do that which is right. Jesus commended the unjust steward. Proverbs 16:31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." A lot of people with white hair are off the road, off the way, and God's cursed them and they're damaged goods. Proverbs 15:24 says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Hey, how's your life going? What way are you on? What road are you on? Are you on the Jesus way, the Jesus road, the Jesus path? Isaiah 3 says, "O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." The Bible says in Isaiah 28, "They have also erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." Acts chapter 15, please. Acts 15. You think you're smarter than the house of God. You think you're smarter than the man of God. You think you're smarter than some brother or sister who made a mistake or sin in the way. Acts 15, verse number 3. Watch this. "And being brought on their way by the church." Hey, if the good old-fashioned Baptist church ain't for it, there's probably a good chance it's not good for you. "They were brought on their way by the church." When you meet a missionary, you meet somebody who's trying to ask money for you to support some good cause, you know, I'm putting those in quotes, you know. You better ask them what church they go to. You better ask them who their pastor is. You know, when you get off the right road, you don't care what doctrine is. Nobody cares, doctrine. Well, it don't matter what if it's a King James Bible or not. Oh, okay, we'll meet again in about 20, 30 years. We're at the judgment seat. You'll find out then, but it'll be too late for you. Isn't it interesting that everybody, just about everybody that uses the King James Bible has the same kind of church service that we have? Did you ever notice that? Do you ever notice, I can go to church, I go to church in Queens, I go to church in New Jersey, I go to church in Pennsylvania, I go to church other places in Massachusetts, Vermont. Do you realize that Baptist churches have the King James Bible, most of the times we sing the same songs? Why is that? Because we're on the same road. All right, some congregations are different than others, and some preachers are different than others, but guess what? You're on the same road. You're singing the same songs. You're preaching the same truths. You go these churches, man, with all kinds of fake names, you know, apostolic this and Church of God, holiness this. I'm telling you, man, you get back on the right road. Being brought on their way by the church. In Acts 18:25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. In verse 26, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. 2 Peter 2:21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Now, you listen to me, you're going to end up in a jail cell somewhere. You're going to end up in a hospital bed, on your deathbed. This will be good. You didn't think that smoking was going to kill you. You didn't think that alcohol was going to kill you. You didn't think that little crime was going to destroy you. And you're going to think back, man, I wish I listened to a preacher. As a matter of fact, turn to Proverbs. I just thought about that. Turn to Proverbs. Find it real quick here. Book of Proverbs. I didn't make up this way last night. It's the way. It's the Jesus way. Proverbs chapter 3 or 5, I can't remember right now. Chapter 5. Verse number 8 talks about the strange woman there. "Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house." Watch this. "Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel." Oh, you don't want to tithe to God. And look, I don't get the salary. Don't worry about it. I'm planning on going to work Monday morning. So you putting in the offering basket is not going to diminish my lifestyle at one bit. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to take it in lawyer fees and hospital bills and child support and lawsuits. Oh, you don't want to be faithful to God? All right, just step out of the way. And see how your life will be destroyed and you'll end up with nothing in bankruptcy and foreclosure. "Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel." Verse 10, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. Nor incline my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation assembly." Look, I guarantee you there's going to be some things that I'm wrong on. There's going to be some things that you don't like that I shouldn't have said. I guarantee you that. Are you going to throw out the whole church because one thing you didn't like or one thing you disagreed with? That's your pride destroying your own self. I've been in every single church since I came here, and every single person, every single pastor said something that I didn't like or something I disagreed with. But I didn't leave because I disagreed. I didn't leave because I got mad. I didn't leave because I said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But if it's all about you, you don't care what church you go to. You don't care if it's a King James Bible or not. You don't care whether they believe in salvation by faith or salvation by works. Some people believe that you can't get saved unless you get baptized, but that's not in the Bible. But you don't care because you're just mad at the preacher. When you get out of the way, you lose your mind. Yeah. We give too much credit to sinful man for doing right instead of giving glory to the way of God that makes all of us do any good. Let me repeat that. We give too much credit to sinful man for doing right instead of giving glory to the way of God that makes all of us do any good. Birds of the same feather flock together, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell what kind of television shows you're watching, videos you're watching, the news you're watching, the newspapers you're reading, the radio you listen to, the music you listen to. Just from looking at you and speaking with you. You send your kids to these government schools that are brainwashing these kids against God, hating the Bible, hating their parents. You have fake friends. You take more stock on your fake friends and neighbors and acquaintances than you do with Jesus. That's why people in Troy, you get mad all you want. Most people in Troy have a welfare mentality, man. All they're concerned is about getting welfare and food stamps. They don't know what a work ethic is. They want government to help them. They don't want God to help them. And it's addiction just like drugs and alcohol is an addiction. Hey, you know what's wrong with your marriage? You probably met the wrong place. Can you imagine God blessing a marriage where they met in a bar, in a grill, in a tap room? Huh? Yeah, okay. You don't care about church. You don't care about doctrine. You don't care about the Bible. You don't care about salvation. So the modernists and the compromisers, what they want you to be infatuated with is a fancy building and all kinds of activities for the youth and teenage programs and even adults and single adults. And you want a richer crowd and lukewarm talks instead of Baptist preaching. Amen. That's what he's going to get you with. Going off to the wrong road. Ladies, a man who isn't after God's heart shouldn't be after your heart. If he's not concerned about the things of God, he shouldn't be concerned about you either. Where do you learn the things that you've learned from? It all comes from other people. Schools, books, fellowships, parents, family. My Bible says in Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. We read Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6, I think Wednesday night. Man, you ought to go home and read Psalm 1. You ought to memorize Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But you don't care where you sit. You don't care where you stand. You don't care where you walk. Then you wonder, why is this happening to me? Well, get in the way. Get in the way. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 63 says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, it came to pass when all that knew him, Saul, before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Now, you understand, Saul is a bad example in the Bible. Saul was not a good man. But the fact that he hung around the sons of the prophets, he started preaching too, just from being around them. You'd be shocked what God will do with you in the next 5 or 10 years if you're with the right crowd. You know what Jesus said? Narrow is the way. Wide is the road to destruction. You're concerned about how many people are going to be with you instead of being on the right way with Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I didn't write that. God said that. So I don't have any wisdom. Then walk with wise men, and God says, you'll be wise. It's not that simple. It's not that difficult. It's really simple, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I could just take you and shake you this morning, wake you up. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We're hanging around the wrong crowd. He says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. But you're going to get off the way because you really care about them. And you want to help them. You can't help them by getting out of the way and going on their way. You can only help them by encouraging them to come this way to Jesus. Loving them, praying for them. But I'm not leaving the way for my wife, my children, or my church. You mark that down for nobody. My Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Proverbs 23 says, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. But Americans, they want their, all-you-can-eat buffets. Did you ever notice that fat people hang around fat people? Did you ever notice that? Liars hang around liars. Thieves hang around thieves. The wicked hang around the wicked. The devil's crowd, they get together, satanic rituals. They have their worship service. They get around, they get together. God's people ought to hang around God's people. Holy people ought to hang around holy people. separated people that hang around separated people. But you're being inundated with this, the world's philosophy. You got to mix everything. God says, meddle not with them that are given to change, God says. That's what God said. Meddle not with them. But you're getting inundated and you're giving in, giving up. Say, okay. Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Proverbs 12, 11 says, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 28, 19 says, he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Hey, you know that favorite singer that you like? Find out what happened to him. Hear me? Find out what happened to him or her. What happened to their life? Prince, Michelle Jackson, and all the other queers that are saying, find out who their favorite people are and find out what they're following, what they believe in. Because that's what you're going to end up like. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I had a verse here to close and I can't remember where, what's that? Hebrews chapter 13, please. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews 13. My Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When you're yoked together with unbelievers, it's unequal. You're going to have problems for the rest of your life. Hebrews chapter 13. God said in Isaiah 45, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. You understand, my life has been messed up, Pastor. I've done some bad things. That's all right. Just get in the way. God has an unbelievable way of straightening out your life. Hey, the same God who raised the dead to living is the same God that can make you quick, that can quicken your soul and make you alive in Jesus Christ. The same God. The same God who gave sight to the blind can give you spiritual sight if you're just with Jesus. That's all you got to be. Be with Jesus. The same God who made the lame walk again can take a crippled life and straighten it out, ladies and gentlemen. You can't, but God can. Jesus said in Matthew 7, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. He said that in Luke 11, 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. You don't think we're evil, but God says we're evil. God calls this vile flesh that you want to promote and share and show everybody in the world. God calls it vile flesh. The reason why you beautify the flesh, because that's what you're watching all the time. You're more concerned about keeping up with the Cartesians than you are with Jesus. You're more concerned about these sluts and whores of Hollywood than you are the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you wonder why your life is going to be exactly like them. And the children that are following you and your friends that are following you are going to end up in the same pits that you are. I'm trying to spare your life, ladies and gentlemen. Luke 6, 22, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You ought to rejoice when that happens because you're doing something right. If the devil crowd doesn't hate me, man, there's something I'm doing wrong. If the queers don't hate me, I'm doing something wrong. You got the devil's crowd loving you, you're doing something wrong. This is going to be good. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. In Proverbs 24, 21. Hebrews chapter 13. Close with this. Hebrews 13. Verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. And he's talking about religious leaders, to be honest with you, spiritual leaders, pastors, or parents, or the husband. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Here's what it says. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know what Paul said? He said, follow me, at least three times in the New Testament. He said, follow me. And in one occasion, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because it's not about the Apostle Paul, it's about Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people forsook Paul. They ended up for the worse. Korah, Moses' cousin, rebelled against Moses and God. And God on Earth Day swallowed him up in an earthquake with fire. God says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Watch this. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I don't claim to be very smart, but I've been happily married for 34 years. I'm not claiming that my children were always right, but you'll have a hard time finding six other children like my six children. I'm not saying that our church is the best church in the country, but I'm saying you'll have a very, very difficult time finding a church the size that we are doing what we are doing for God Almighty without compromise. It's your choice what road you're going to be on. You can end up in some charismatic church. That's why your family's going to be messed up. Your kid's going to be messed up. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, Jesus said. We don't care about the word of God no more in our society. We don't care about the word of God in our churches. We don't care about the word of God in our families. Jesus said, I am the way. Not just the truth and the life, but Jesus is the way. Stay in the way. Stay on the right road. Stay on the right path. And I'm telling you, God will bless you. Even despite us or in spite of us, God will still bless. Sinners that we are, fools that we've been, unjust stewards that we've been, evil. And we can learn to give good things, good gifts to other people. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for being the way. Thank you, dear God, for giving us a book, the map for the way. I pray, dear God, that you bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. Lord, there's no way I could give everything I wanted to give this morning in just 30, 40 minutes. But dear God, dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd impress upon these people their minds, their hearts, to surrender and just walk humbly in the way, the path that you have given us. Bless, I pray, this invitation for people to get saved, baptized, join the church, whatever their need is. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business for God. Christians praying.